And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Saving the world one soundbite at a time, I like to say. Well, listen, that was an interesting, I mean, Becky always does a great job. She's a great advocate. She's great at what she does with Eagle Forum Now. Formerly, you know, came to prominence as a conservative policy advocate in the Wetumpka Tea Party, and got beat up by the IRS under Lois Lerner during the Obama years, went and testified before Congress, and now here she is right now in the Biden years. And she's at the Eagle Forum now, and this is amazing to me. And I'm going to get into more about the weaponization of government here in a minute, but let me just recap a little bit of our discussion there with Becky Gerritsen, if you didn't hear it. So here's the deal. The VCAP bill, the Vulnerable Child Compassion and Protection Act, something that was debated heavily after multiple public hearings, after 3 years of legislative process, duly passed by both the House and the Senate in public votes, signed by Governor Ivey, very transparent, is now being challenged on constitutional grounds. Well, the constitutionality of VCAP is being challenged, not the intent of the parties or the people who were involved. You don't challenge constitutionality upon intent. You challenge it based upon the content of the law itself. Does the content of the law itself violate someone's civil liberties? Does it in some way infringe upon a constitutional right? Well, what is it they hope to gain by pursuing 5.5 years of documentation from a little bitty 501c4 operating in little bitty old Alabama? I'll tell you what they hope to gain. They hope to gain beaten down on conservatives who would dare to press against the agenda. That's what they're looking at. And so right now, here's 1819 News already has an article up about this. I mean, they got it up like post-haste, and they did great job, great article. Let's see who wrote this one. This one written by Jeff Poor. Oh, Jeff, who's going to be on the show here in a little while. But Jeff Poor wrote this article. It's already up. It says towards the end of the article that it's a quote from the Eagle Forum. It says it seeks 5.5 years of information, including all communications with legislators or anyone else regarding VCAP, every note, meeting minutes, letters, policy goals, strategy efforts, speech, presentation materials, research, polling, drafts of the bill or its amendments, and documents pertaining to publicly posted social media and web pages. I mean, what they're trying to do is they're trying to wear Eagle Forum out. And they're not even a party to the suit. Now, it's not uncommon, I will say this as an attorney, it's not uncommon to have non-party subpoenas, third-party subpoenas. It's not uncommon to say, well, Your Honor, in order for us to move forward, we have to know what that doctor's office has in their records. We have to know what that CPA has, or we have to know, you know, what that business did, or, you know, what that person has in their possession. I get it. Non-party subpoenas are not uncommon. This one is uncommon. This one smacks of the weaponization of government under the Biden DOJ. What is the DOJ doing coming down here, jumping into a state law that merely stops transgender therapies on minors? I say merely. It's not merely to them, apparently. But it stops transgender therapies on minors. Well, I know we're going to a break right now. I can feel it coming. I can sense it. But we're going to talk a little bit more about this. Like, what is it that they said a National Review? Oh, that's right. We've been labeled a clear and present danger. What is it that Ron DeSantis said? Well, he called it the weaponization of government. More on that. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right, covering down on all of North Alabama. Yeah, making it cool to be a conservative. Hey, listen, I gotta tell you. So some of you folks out there, you listen to the show, you probably gained pretty quick that I'm a veteran. I got a real heart for veterans' issues. And I know those of you who have been listening lately have heard me talk about the water contamination at Camp Lejeune Marine Base. All right, so if you were ever at Camp Lejeune, I don't mean like stationed there for a period of years. I mean, if you ever went there for training, if you were there on TDY, if you just popped in, stayed for a bit and left, or if you were there for a permanent duty station, then yes, between 1953 to 1987, those are periods where they have confirmed that there was, in fact, contaminated water. And apparently they knew it and weren't doing anything about it. And there have been something like 19 different illnesses, some of which are extremely bad, that have cropped up because of that contaminated water. Well, listen, so my friends at Riley & Jackson, a law firm in Birmingham, I have worked with them as an attorney. I have worked with them before. We've collaborated on cases. So I called them because I heard they had like 5 lawyers at their firm working this thing. And they explained it all to me, laid it out. And I was like, good gosh. So, yeah, I am here to tell you right now that if you were ever there at Camp Lejeune between 1953 and 1987, those dates where it's been proven that the water was contaminated, I really strongly suggest you call Riley & Jackson. Their number, here's the number, you ready? Their number at Riley & Jackson is 205-879-5000. These are friends of mine. I know these folks personally. I've worked with them. I like them. I would go to them. Riley & Jackson, 205-879-5000. Just see if you have a claim. I mean, they're not going to charge you just for talking to you, and they won't charge you anything unless they can get a claim on your behalf all the way to the point of compensation. So, yeah, give them a call, Riley & Jackson, Camp Lejeune, 205-879-5000. All right, that is like an ad, so I got to say this disclaimer. You ready for this? Here's how fast I can do it. No representation made that the quality of legal services be performed is greater than the quality of certain legal services performed by other lawyers. Bam! Anyway, Riley & Jackson, give them a call. Tell them you heard on Right Side Radio. All right, I am finishing this section here. Let me move that out of the way. I'm finishing this section here on the Triple Dipper. I'm calling it the weaponization of government. So, yeah, thehill.com. August 9th. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis called the FBI raid on former President Trump's home in Florida on Monday an escalation in the weaponization of federal agencies. He says shortly after the FBI executed a search warrant on the former president's home, DeSantis took to Twitter to criticize the move, including even tying the search to the Senate's passing of the $740 billion tax, health care, and climate change legislation. The bottom line is this. He said this. The raid of Mar-a-Lago is another escalation in the weaponization of federal agencies against the regime's political opponents while people like Hunter Biden get treated with kid gloves. And I totally agree. I saw somebody on Twitter the other day, and they said this, and I thought, that sums it up for me in a lot of ways, that President Trump had said at a speech recently that his son, his teenage son, Barron, that Barron's room was searched by the FBI. And this person tweeted out, Trump's teenage son's room has been searched by the FBI. The FBI has never talked to Hunter Biden. Let that sink in. Wow. Just freaking wow. So apparently there are double standards. Well, that's part of the question. I got an article here. Where did it go? Let me find it. Yeah, here it is. Foxnews.com dated August 30th. The Wall Street editorial board says if you're going to do like this, FBI and DOJ, then you have to apply the Clinton standard to Trump. You have to. The Clinton standard, what are they talking about? All right, you remember Clinton's email saga? So all this stuff right now, Trump, he had classified documents. Oh, you know what? First of all, you know who's allowed to be the ultimate declassifying authority? The President of the United States. Oh, guess who had the documents they're concerned about? The former President of the United States. Guess when he got them? When he was still President of the United States. And oh, by the way, there was a leak today, a leak to the Washington Post of some of the documents that were seized by the FBI. That's interesting. So they never leaked while they were in Trump's possession. But now that they're with the FBI, they're leaked to the Washington Post. Huh. Reckon how that happened. Well, the Wall Street editorial board argues that the FBI and the DOJ must apply the Clinton standard. They say this, the Wall Street Journal editorial board argued that former President Trump should be held to the same standard as former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton. You see, part of the weaponization of government we're talking about is when they target people. I don't think anybody here would mind if there was a sort of a singular focus of action by government against people who do things wrong. For instance, if the IRS decides to audit somebody and they find something wrong, I get it. If the IRS is targeting conservative groups and those who donate to conservative groups, I call foul. If the DOJ is going to go after Trump because allegedly he has documents in his possession that were marked classified, regardless of whether we'll find out later on whether they really were still classified or not. But if they're going to go after him and say that was wrong, then they have to recognize that they chose not to do anything when Hillary Clinton, Secretary of State, literally had a server at her house filled with classified emails and classified documentation. And they chose to do nothing. You see, where we mind things is when we see the dual standard. That's where it becomes apparent that we've got a weaponization issue. You're not out there enforcing the law. You're out there weaponizing against people who disagree with the position of the administration. I saw on CNN the other day, classic, sitting here in the studio, it's up on the left screen. Yes, that's right. We have Fox on the right screen. We have CNN on the left screen. But they were talking about all of the times that Trump talked about whether he could go after somebody using the weight of government. All the times he talked about it? What's your point? Did he do it? And the answer is no. All the times he talked about it, assuming he really did talk about it, what did that really do to somebody? Nothing. Did you have to pay a lawyer to go and defend you in a DOJ action? Did you have to pay a CPA to help defend you in an IRS action? Did you have to pay, you know, an expert to come in and testify in your EPA or OSHA violation action? No. But you do under Biden. Next I've got Clear and Present Danger. That's the title of a National Review article here dated September 4th, 3 days ago. Clear and Present Danger. President Joe Biden, an advocate of what he has the temerity to call the unity agenda, and they say, by the way, they say not a unity agenda, but the unity agenda, has given a provocative speech in which he declared Donald Trump and his supporters a clear and present danger. By the way, it's apparent from reading this article on National Review by Kevin Williamson that he does not like Trump. It's very obvious. He wrote this, and he sort of agrees in his mind. He agrees, not me. He agrees that there is some level of fascism represented by Trump's actions and Trump's policies. No. But anyway. But he says, begin with President Biden's irresponsible and foolish invocation of the phrase clear and present danger, which he points out is not only the title of a Tom Clancy novel, it's also a legal rationale. Yes, it is. Keywords, clear and present danger. For the President of the United States to say these MAGA people are a clear and present danger. Well, he has now invoked certain language which can permit the federal government to abrogate American civil rights in the face of a public emergency. It's a doctrine that's been cited in order to permit the state to imprison war protesters, even war critics. It's a clear fascist strategy, he says, is provoking or simply inventing an existential emergency in order to justify suppressing political enemies on national security grounds. That's what he sees right now. Now, he doesn't like Trump. It's not a, this is National Review. They're conservative, but they're not, but they're usually level-headed. And he, this author does not care for the Trump administration. He just apparently doesn't want Trump to run for office the way I read it. But he believes flat out that what we're seeing right now is the labeling of people who believe in the MAGA agenda as a clear and present danger to the United States is a signal that they're going to use that language in some capacity later on. You've been designated a clear and present danger. You will come with me. Show us your papers. Well, all right. It goes beyond that. I got some more. Tell you what, let's do this, Boomer. Go ahead and take us to a break. We'll take this break. We'll come right back. We'll wrap this up. And then top of the hour, I got my brethren Jeff Poor and Dale Jackson on the hook for the Grand Council at 4 o'clock. All right, folks, Phil Williams. Right Side Radio. A whole lot more where that came from. We'll be right back. And we're back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. So we're talking about the weaponization of government. It's I don't want to say it's disheartening, but it's you look at this and you go, okay, they've got all the resources in the world and they don't have to make a living. They just get a government paycheck every single day to go and do whatever is necessary in accordance with the whims and dictates of whoever happens to be in charge at the time. Well, I got news. One of the things that does give me encouragement is like Jim Jordan, article on Fox News this September 1st, so 6 days ago. Jim Jordan said in regards to the speech, you know, the angry red speech last week, he says they're trying to weaponize the government against half the population, against any Republican, any conservative, anyone who voted for President Trump. And he says, we see that. He says it's so bad, though, that we've had 14 whistleblowers come to our office as FBI agents, come to us as whistleblowers, talking about this whole narrative to treat everyone and label everyone as an extremist. Well, I'm encouraged by that. I'm encouraged to think that they've had at least 14 whistleblowers come say, look, man, the leadership's trying to make us do this stuff. I have this strong sense that there are just good, solid men and women in these organizations who are like, yeah, this ain't right. Why are we having to do this? It doesn't stop it from happening, though. Too often, there are some who either blindly do their jobs without asking any questions, or they believe in the reasons why they're being told to do it. Do you remember Operation Choke Point? I don't. I didn't remember this. Operation Choke Point. The U.S. Department of Justice, beginning in 2013, had an actual program they called Operation Choke Point. And when Republicans took over, they found out about it. They had to subpoena the documents. They had to literally conduct investigations. But this Department of Justice, Operation Choke Point, under the Obama administration, was literally investigating banks and the businesses they did with firearm dealers, coal producers, payday lenders, anybody else who was believed to be in opposition to things that the Obama administration was in opposition to. It's unreal to when you look back on this. It says, I'm looking at it right now, an article online, critics of the operation accuse it of bypassing due process. The government was pressuring the financial industry to cut off companies' access to banking services, including their access to capital, without first having even shown that the targeted companies were violating the law. Critics also said that it was a thinly veiled ideological attack on industries that the Obama administration doesn't like, such as gun sellers and coal producers. And it got cut off when the Republicans took back control of the House for a period of time. But listen, Biden is nothing but an extension of the Obama administration. Worse, really. Worse. But I look at the things that are out there right now that are happening left and right, and I cannot help but think, my gosh, how did we get here? How do we get to the point that you can have the Department of Justice launch a subpoena against a non-party seeking 5.5 years of onerous records in a case in which they were only doing what they are allowed to do by law? They're a 501c4. They've been doing it for 45 years. They advocate, they lobby, they work with legislators and others in the ability to get conservative policies put into place. And now they got to produce 5.5 years of every document in the world. Who wrote that subpoena? They knew there was a motion to quash coming on that thing. It's other places. I look at it right now. There's an article on Forbes. Forbes has a piece dated, this is an older article, This is dated in January of 2014, and it's called Obama's Weaponization of Government. And they point out in here there were a number of things that were happening. Like, for instance, during that time frame when Chuck Schumer, a U.S. senator, still there, can't get rid of him, when Chuck Schumer literally stated, there are many things that can be done administratively by the IRS and other government agencies. We must redouble those efforts immediately. He was one of a number of Democrat senators who signed a 2012 letter to the IRS demanding they be more aggressive against conservative organizations. Like, do they not get it? Has he been so far removed from the private sector, he just doesn't get it anymore? And he's now the majority leader in the Senate. And the article points out from Forbes editorial board, the Senate should be censoring him for suggesting the IRS be used as a political weapon. Americans should be calling for his head. They talk about in here the Lois Lerner scandal that my friend Becky Gerritsen had to testify in. They talk about the IRS targeting conservative groups in this article. And here we are. This article was written in 2014. Here we are, what, 8 years later, and we're right back there again. I mean, you look at some of the culprits in here. There was part of this article about the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau going after businesses and assuming that all businesses are predatory and therefore bringing regulatory burdens that just made their life difficult. Well, guess who was heading it up at the time? Elizabeth Warren. So, I mean, for the love, it's the same old hacks every time we turn around. Well, but they're doing other things too. The weaponization of government. How about just ignoring state laws? Article on 1819 News, Craig Monger wrote this one, dated today, as a matter of fact. Attorney General Steve Marshall vows to uphold Alabama's abortion law against the VA, the Veterans Administration. And so what we got right now, if they don't like where you stand on the VCAP bill, they subpoena your 5.5 years worth of records. If they don't like where you stood on certain issues, they might send 87,000 new IRS agents to audit your books. Or how about this one? If they don't like the fact that you passed a state law that flies in the face of their desire to kill more babies and conduct more abortions, they'll just go ahead and say, well, you know what? It's anytime we have a federal installation, it's sovereign property. Doesn't matter what your state laws are. We're going to be doing abortions at VA centers. Well, Attorney General Steve Marshall said that he stands in favor of life and that he's going to do all he can to figure out what recourse he has to prevent a federal agency from operating in defiance of the laws of our state. Says 15 states have abortion bans, and some, including Alabama, offer limited exceptions. But right now, we do have 4 VA hospitals in Alabama, Birmingham, Montgomery, Tuscaloosa, Tuskegee, along with 16 outpatient clinics. So are these going to be conducting abortions? Because if you get down to it, the Hyde Amendment restricts the federal funding of abortions. So how are they going to violate federal, you know, finance laws and, oh, by the way, state abortion laws and just do it? You know why? Because they are weaponizing themselves to do whatever they want to do. And we've got to keep ourselves alert and awake to it. All right, there you go, folks. Sorry to be so dour. I'm really not discouraged. I know there's more of us than there are of them. And I even woke up this morning with a verse in my mind. I mean, it came out of nowhere. I had to go look and make sure it really was a verse. I find that it was actually Psalm 42:11. Do not be downcast, O my soul. What? Do not be downcast, O my soul. And that was the psalmist talking to himself, saying, don't get down. And he went on to say, encourage yourself in the Lord. That's where I'm at. I am literally trusting, but I'm also going to keep doing. I believe that God has put me in this place. I'm going to keep educating, enlightening, and entertaining and empowering people to know that being a conservative in this state is all right. And they can try to put the heavy thumb of oppressive government on us, and we're going to keep on talking. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Coming up next, my brethren Dale Jackson and Jeff Poore, the Grand Council, we call it. We'll be right back.